Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It grieves me to share this, but Ken Ham is a crook! This is Wretched Radio. Just flew in from Daytona Beach, and boy, Delta was pretty much on time. Spent a number of hours with Ken Ham, Phil Johnson. Everybody was HB, Charles, Virgil Walker, Daryl Harrison. It was a veritable panoply of folks that we know and love here at Wretched Radio in Daytona Beach, California. I forgot how big the ocean is. It's really, actually, quite a substantial piece of work that the Lord did there. And people deny a global flood. Honestly, how can you not look at the ocean and go, it is pretty easy to imagine the whole place could have been covered. But I did learn something about God when I stared at the ocean. His kindness and his faithfulness is on display in nature. His faithfulness in that we're in our hotel room. We can see the ocean and I'm just watching the tide in, back out, in, back out. Although I don't know how the water goes back out. I don't know exactly how that works because I just see it pounding in. How it gets back out, well, the Lord knows how that works and probably somebody who has higher than an eighth grade education. The water faithfulness of just seeing it in and out, in and out. Now, I'm not there. And you know what it's doing? It's still coming in and it's coming out. That's the faithfulness of God. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the faithfulness of God. Every day that is new, the faithfulness of God and full display in nature. But I was also reminded of his kindness because as I sat and looked at the ocean, I was thinking to myself, self, are you an ocean person? And my answer to myself, because I have internal conversations all the time, was, yeah, I hate to say no, because that makes it sound like I'm not in awe of how big God is and how powerful he is and how faithful he is. But I realized, being a Minnesota boy, I'm a lake person. And I thought to myself, well, how kind is God? He doesn't have to provide us any amenities. He could have us living on the moon. Instead, he gave us this planet with optional beauties, little sprinklings of nice things, like an ocean with resort hotels, with the tide coming in and coming back out where you can just sit and, of course, it'll involve a lot of sand and a lot of wind and a lot of sweat, but we get to enjoy that. But I realized it's not my particular cup of tea. And I realized I prefer a lake and a cabin as opposed to a beach and a resort. And it's then that it dawned on me, wow, God gives us optional beauties. He gives us tastes, sensations based on our own preferences. What kind of a God do we serve? One who is so benevolent, one who is so generous. One who is so creative, who's so artistic, and gives us all of these lovely gifts so that we can enjoy them and experience them. We get to pick our preference. So you don't like a beach, you don't like a lake. How do the mountains do you? Do you hear what I just did there? Mountains do you? I just did. Oh, I think I made a Pepsi joke right there. Do you like the mountains? Okay, you get to go enjoy those. Are you a desert person? Well, congratulations. You've got pretty much all of Southwestern America. You can go and enjoy. You like to just see a cacti? No, it would be a cactus because that's... Yeah, that would be singular. You like to see a cactus every 600 miles with a lot of sand surrounding it? God gave you a desert. What a kind God we have. That's what I learned when I was staring at the beach in Florida. However, I did receive a text from a buddy of mine. I can't recall when he sent this. Now, don't panic. It happens to be a quote from C.S. Lewis. And yet it was articulated so well that I think in the context of what we're conversing about, I think is a helpful reminder as to what these lovely gifts from God are supposed to do. They are not supposed to enthrall us. They're not supposed to make us comfortable. They're not supposed to help us feel at home. From the problem of pain, the Christian doctrine of suffering explains a very curious fact about the world we live in. Do tell, C.S. The settled happiness and security which we all desire, God withholds from us by the very nature of the world. He withholds all good things. He gives some, this is me, not C.S. Lewis. You could probably tell. He gives us good things along the way as a part of the journey. But he doesn't give us all good things because that's going to be our destination. Back to C.S., the settled happiness and security which we all desire, God withholds from us by the very nature of the world, but joy, pleasure, and merriment he has scattered broadcast along the way. We're never safe, but we do have plenty of fun, some ecstasy. The security we crave would teach us to rest our hearts in this world and oppose an obstacle to our return to God. In other words, if we had everything exact, I'm on my lake, I got my cabin, we're grilling out, and that is 24/7. Do you know what I don't need? I don't need God. I don't need to rely on him. I don't need to lean on him. I don't need to rest in him because I'm good. And so what does he do? As a kind, benevolent God, he broadcasts, scatters good things, but he doesn't give them to us yet in their densest form. Back to C.S. Lewis. A few moments of happy love, a landscape, a symphony, a merry meeting with our friends, a bath or a football match have no such tendency. Our Father refreshes us on the journey with some pleasant inns, I-N-N-S, but will not encourage us to mistake them for home. Good things are pointers. One day, all will be well because of the redemptive work of Jesus. Then, every second of eternity. Can I actually say that? Every second of eternity, because eternity doesn't have seconds. My point is, then it will be eternal joy. Now, God scatters gifts so that we can have tastes of his eternal goodness, because they are meant to serve. They're not meant to be the destination. They're meant to propel us forward and to have us looking toward eternity. That's what I learned about the ocean banging in. But I also learned, grieves me. It just grieves me to say, Ken Ham is a crook. That's right. Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis is a crook. I have proof on my cell phone. Why? Because I left my cell phone sitting on the chair after we finished doing a Q&A. And I ran off, realized I'd forgotten my cell phone. And you know how you get the heebie-jeebies when you don't have your anchor in life. So I went back to pick it up. I knew where it was. It was right on the chair next to me. And as I walk back toward the chair, I see Ken Ham on my cell phone recording a message to me. He stole my cell phone and broke into it. Ken Ham is a criminal. And he's also something that perhaps you don't get exposed to, maybe not very often. Somebody, when Ken speaks, he is a funny guy, but you don't get that sense. I mean, if we did a word association game, which I've been told to never do again, and we said, Ken Ham, would you say funny? But he is. He's very funny, and he loves to joke around, and he loves to exude joy. Is he earnest about his mission? Yeah, he sure is. But he's also a gas to be around. had a lovely time at the Cornerstone Conference. The folks at Cornerstone, absolutely awesome hosts and organizers. Well done, y'all. They're very, very sweet people. I felt like I was at my own church. But there were others at the Cornerstone Conference about whom I have some gossip. Like Phil Johnson. Next on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh boy, it's time for show and tell. This is Wretched Radio. Did I mention I was in Daytona Beach over the weekend at the Cornerstone Conference? It was a wonderful, sweet time. And simultaneously, back here in Atlanta, Georgia, Jimmy, you were at your church's conference with Justin Peters, Jim Osman, Gabe Hughes. And how was your conference? You show and tell, and then I'll tell you what I know about Phil Johnson.
It was good. It was very successful. Scott Klusendorf also
was
part
Klusen,
of it. Yeah.
That rat.
You know,
he didn't even text me to say, hey, I could stop by. Nothing.
Well, I think he did that on purpose. You know, and I was telling somebody, they were asking about the conference, and I thought, this was actually the first time I've heard Scott speak and preach. I've talked to him tons of times,
yeah. But
and he was probably my favorite of the whole thing. And it was probably
Justin and Jim and Gabe might hear this.
Well, I mean,
why did it strike you? Scott is a smart guy.
Scott is a very smart guy, but it was how he presented what he presented. It just, I mean, it's not stuff that I haven't heard before. I mean, but he's just really good at what he does.
Oh, he's super. I think he's the best pro-life apologist on the planet.
Absolutely.
Now, there's other good folks, I'm certain, but for every, all the ones that I know, he'd be the bestest. In fact, he recently, was it The Case for Life? It's been kind of an update. He wrote that book 15, 20 years ago. He updated it. It's a whopper. So if you want to be a pro-life apologist, he is your go-to guy. Speaking of which, I just received a book from Ray Comfort. What I've learned from 50 years of open air preaching. And the reason that I bring that up in conjunction with Scott Klusendorf, who I think is aces at pro-life, Ray Comfort, I think, is the best open air preacher that we've seen, period, on these shores. I mean, period. Like, name another evangelist that has been more faithful than Ray Comfort, doing this for 50 years. Are you kidding me? And just so you know, Ray ain't a pretender. He's always witnessing. Seriously. I would imagine his wife, Sue, must be at this point agitated, because if Ray doesn't have somebody to witness to, he actually shares the gospel with her, which I would, honey, I'm saved. Okay, I got it. Now, I'm not a good person. I understand. I'm a bad person. I broke in the law. You can only imagine their dinner conversation. Ray Comfort is the best at evangelism and open air preaching. So if you want to learn from the best, I commend Ray's book to you, Scott Klusendorf's book to you. And hey, Jimmy, this is exciting. You know who's coming in here on Friday that's kind of related to Scott Klusendorf?
Who?
Greg Kokel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Greg Kokel is coming in.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to do some Wretched TV together and spend time talking about how to be a winsome apologist. Now, there's a guy. Okay, Kokel, I think that he's got it down. He practices what he preaches. And it's really agitating because he and I disagree on some stuff, and yet he's so nice all the time. You know, he's not compromising. He's not aggressive. He is a great character witness for Jesus Christ, which incidentally is one of the reasons that so many kids deconstruct these days. They see kind of aggressive, angry Christians evangelizing. So Kokel will be in. We'll share that with you also. And then one day we'll share with you what Gabe Hughes, Justin Peters, and Jim Osman did, because while I was flying to Daytona Beach, they were in the studio. How was herding those cats?
You know what, Ton? It was pleasant.
That's the best you can do?
No. So you know, those three did three radio episodes.
Right.
And Gabe was in charge and running the whole thing. And that guy is such a pro.
Oh, he is.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's got such a great voice.
Yeah. We did 12 segments.
Yeah.
We did 12 segments.
Oh, and right on. And I bet he was bang on with time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think Gabe used to do radio. He's Mr. Well, what, if you didn't know. Well, what? When we understand the text. His videos are on the YouTube machine. Really fine stuff. And I knew that he did radio. So I actually put him in charge.
Oh, okay.
Because, well, I knew with
well, the other two.
With Osman and Peters, somebody had to be taming that herd. And so Gabe did a bang up job. I'm not surprised. We'll air those one day and share what they had to say. I think they went through the distinctions between like Presbyterianism and covenant. No, did they do eschatology?
They did eschatology.
The four views of eschatology. Okay, now tell me the truth. Were they fair?
Oh, for sure. They were for sure. I think it leaned more towards one way.
Probably because they're probably all pre-trib and dispensational.
No. Gabe is not.
What?
Yeah, but he didn't.
We let him run the radio program?
That's right.
How good. Speaking of that issue, I don't know if I mentioned I was in Daytona Beach at the Cornerstone Conference. Stephen Nichols was there. He's from Ligonier Ministries. And we chatted. And we were talking about how R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur so well modeled what fellowship looks like, even with disagreements. And then I learned something about Ligonier Ministries. Jimmy, this is going to blow you away. Do you know that Ligonier Ministries has curriculum, Bible study curriculum for children? That doesn't shock you.
I know.
They've got two versions of the same curriculum, Presbyterian and Reformed Baptist.
Wow.
Now, come on. Ligonier, they ain't Reformed Baptist. And yet, for their Reformed Baptist friends, they produce the curriculum to serve the body. And do they feel like they're compromising? No. Because Presbyterians and Reformed Baptists agree on what? 95% of pretty much every... Yeah, there's some big stuff. I get it. I know those things aren't inconsequential, certainly. But they're willing, as a Presbyterian organization, to make curriculum so that Baptists can use it? Now, that is modeling some grace and some charity and some conviction. Speaking of the Cornerstone Conference, Daryl Harrison was there. And when we were doing a Q&A, I think it was the second day, so it must have been Saturday before we flew back to Atlanta so we could be in our own church on Sunday morning. Daryl was talking, he was lamenting something that we have felt here for years. And that is, you got two things going on. Stephen Nichols mentioned that Ligonier is putting out their, I think they do it every other year, kind of the state of the church. That's always a scary story. It's really well done. It's really thorough. And it's rightly questioned and framed. It's not all loosey-goosey. And he said one of the biggest threats to the church is anti-intellectualism. There's just not a lot of theological depth. But Daryl brought up, and it was just in a different part of the conversation, that there is a stream of scholasticism inside of the church. And if you love theology, he was talking about you, the individual who loves theology, who loves to gain head knowledge, but it doesn't go anywhere. It makes us, I can't think of another word that suits better than pride. That, look, and the reality is, if you swim in my stream, I think that we have the purest water. I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this stream. Neither would you. But that doesn't mean that that our stream can never... Oh, there's got to be a name. When two streams come together, the confluence of... When the Missouri from the Schenectady and the Shenandoah River, they come... I'm making all of this up. Friel, we knew that. When they all come together, they can be a big, beautiful ocean. All right, I'm not pleased with myself for that illustration. The point is, we swim in our stream, but the moment we think we're the only valid expression of Christianity, that's when pride has set in. And Daryl was pointing that out. And to Daryl, I say, amen, brother, amen. Oh, Virgil, also, he did a bang-up job. His fourth point in his five-point presentation about history marching forward, that things are not out of control. The Lord has got a destination for all of this. He's organizing. All the chips on the table are exactly where he wants them. The dominoes are set, and he's going to knock them down as he sees fit, because We are not chaos. We are orderly and we are marching toward a destination. Two seats down from Virgil was Phil Johnson. And you didn't think that I would remember. Phil Johnson was there. It was his first outing since his cancer. This is my takeaway from Phil Johnson, who flew from Los Angeles to Daytona Beach to be with God's people, to feed them. And blood cancer. And he's in remission right now. For 3 days he was there. 3 days. And I just arrived at the conclusion, we need to start eulogizing one another while we're still able to do it and they're able to hear. Phil Johnson is an amazing gift to the body. He is such a blessing to the church. And I want to herald that now. And I wonder if we all wouldn't do well to follow that pattern. If we see somebody doing good, if we see somebody being faithful, let's shout it while they still might be able to hear it and be encouraged by it. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. The president of the American Medical Association was just caught on undercover video admitting he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about when it comes to child gender transitions. Bobby Kamala, I hope I said that right, told whistleblower Dr. Ethan Hamm and Michigan State Representative Brad Paquette that he doesn't actually read the studies, just trusts the experts. This is the president of the AMA, folks, somebody you would hope would be an expert. Meanwhile, his own organization's journal shows the suicide rate for trans-identifying people is 75 per 100,000, not the more than half he claimed. But hey, let's not let facts get in the way when there's money to be made. And conversely, here's a story about a little medical sanity. Illinois' Advocate Healthcare just became the latest hospital system to stop prescribing gender drugs to minors after Trump's executive order. They're joining Yale, Kaiser Permanente, Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and others who suddenly discovered their medical ethics when federal funding was on the line. The Trump administration is now backing Senator Marsha Blackburn's legislation that would ban the procedures nationwide and let kids sue their mutilators for up to 25 years after turning 18. Attorney General Pam Bondi called it what it is, protecting children from mutilative medical procedures that fly in the face of basic biology. Over in Kenya, a judge just ordered the government to create a Transgender Protection Rights Act after awarding $7,700 to a gender-confused man who claimed his rights were violated in prison. Colombia just appointed a man as the Deputy Minister of Women, and they're calling it historic and inclusive. You really can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is what happens when words lose all meaning and biological reality just becomes optional. Meanwhile, a federal appeals court just blocked the president from deporting suspected members of a Venezuelan gang, claiming waves of illegal immigrants don't constitute an invasion under the Alien Enemies Act. Judges are now making themselves the arbiters of national security, while gang members from other countries who've committed kidnappings, murders, and rapes, well, they get to stay. And in Oregon, because 2025 hasn't been weird enough already, a middle school principal has banned hugging. The principal, Allison Couch, called it a virus of hugs because it is so, so bad for children who spent their entire childhood in COVID lockdowns to show any type of human affection. These are the same educators pushing gender confusion while banning the one thing that actually helps kids' emotional development. Those priorities? Well, they tell you everything you need to know. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Mexican. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are not alone. This is Wretched Radio. To whom am I speaking? The moms and the dads, and that is a plural, the moms and the dads who have been ghosted. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if I mentioned I was in Daytona Beach at the Cornerstone Conference over the weekend, flew back Saturday so that we could be in our own church on Sunday morning. Because I got to tell you something, when I'm away for a week from my church, things ain't right. If you are not faithfully attending and joining and serving in a local church, your life is out of whack. That's the theological term. It ain't right. Church, among other things, it sets the trajectory for your week. It just does. It's like a weekly reset. Okay, in case I've been forgetting that the world is not my home, in case my eyes have been seeking after idols, in case my priorities have been confused. Oh yeah, it's about God and his son, Jesus Christ. That is what you get when you go to church on Sunday. So please, I had the most delightful experience. What an encouraging thing happened on Sunday at our church. We'll say a person, we're going to keep this individual gender free, spent a little time chatting with me in the lobby, 27 years old. Do you know why that person was there? Because they knew that they needed to be in a fellowship. They knew it. And it was a drive and it was no small effort, but they did it. Because they realized that church is central to the Christian life. Obviously, Jesus is central to our life. But as far as the operation of our Christian life, it's the church, it's the church, it's the church. That is the only ordained institution that Jesus gave for your edification with other people. He did not include social media. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, that broadcast, radio, TV, whatever, can't be beneficial and feed us, but it pales in comparison to what you receive in the context of your local church. Because here's what you and I can't do together. We can't do the one another's together. Now, to a degree, we can. I love you. You love me. We're a special fam. Sorry about that. So we in a sense can do that, but not together. I can't serve you beyond talking. I can't hold a door for you. I can't help you carry stuff from your car. I can't listen to you when your heart is heavy because you have a prodigal child. And that is what I was reminded of at the Cornerstone Conference. The moms and the dads who have prodigal children who have ghosted them. We were on the panel on the first day, I think. And Brandon, who was one of the organizers of the Cornerstone Conference, and I really do have to point out, this was very obvious. The Cornerstone Radio, Cornerstone Church, I kept meeting people that were from that ministry. And I was struck by how nice each of them was. Not just like a little nice. They were like really nice. It was like, I don't know what they're doing there, but it's something good because, wow, the fruit is shining. And as Brandon asked the question about parents with prodigal kids, I said to the moms and the dads who have been ghosted, you need to take yourself off of the hook that the Lord does not have you on. And that hook is, I'm responsible for my child's wanderings. I'm responsible for my child's rejection of the faith. Let me state this lovingly and emphatically. No, you're not. No, you're not. And that should be good news for you. You were called to be faithful. Did you do it perfectly? Of course we didn't do it perfectly. Regrets, you have a few, but those sins that you committed against your kids, are those somehow outside of the grace of Jesus Christ? Do you not have those sins forgiven? So those, there's a special column in God's judicial book. All of your other sins forgiven, but your parenting mess, I'm gonna hang that over your head. He doesn't do that. Why are you doing that? You are not your child's Holy Spirit. You can't get your kids saved. You parented imperfectly. So if you've repented of those sins, are you not cleansed of those sins? Are you not forgiven by Jesus, the righteous? Why then do you feel like you are responsible for your child's autonomous decision? It's on them. If they've decided, I don't like Jesus, that isn't because of you. That is them. You preach the gospel to them. They know the gospel. They've rejected it. I know it hurts. I know it does. It stings. Perhaps the deepest wound that can be inflicted on a parent is when a child rejects their faith and then rejects them. So I simply mentioned that. And then the Q&A was done. And wow, did parents find me, one after another, experiencing the ghosting of their children. This is a big issue inside of the church. So let me perhaps state some obvious observations. Pastor, please don't overlook this. I promise you, if you have 100 people in your church and you're looking out, you've probably got a dozen parents with kids who have gone astray, or they're just not doing it the way that we think that they should be doing it. And that's a subject for another day. Even so, we need to be addressing those parents who are hurting. And we need to remind them, hey, God does not hold you responsible for the status of your child's soul. They're responsible. Remember Ezekiel 18, your sins, their sins, their sins. Can you rest in that? Mom and dad, I think that the pastor should be addressing this because, Pastor, I think this is a big issue. The number of emails that I get when we just meet folks and chat at the Cornerstone Conference, the number of parents who are like, I'd never heard the term ghosting before, and that's what's happening to us. One fellow saying, is that what my child is doing? Is my child ghosting me? And it sounded like his child was ghosting him. Because this is a plague inside of the church. I think it's fostered by our society. I think the world and, frankly, cell phones. Mrs. Friel was just telling me this morning that she was reading an article about a school that decided to ban the cell phones. And they're like 2 days into it because school just started. Must be someplace in the Midwest because we wait until after Labor Day to start school in the Midwest, as opposed to the South, which basically, okay, happy Independence Day, get to school, kids. The kids didn't have their cell phones for 2 days. And guess what? They were loving it. They were chatting. They were playing board games. And they didn't feel like this monster was on their back. Cell phones, I think, are destroying, not the only thing, but they're one of the major contributors to the deconstruction of our society. Because they feed the kids the siren song of autonomy. And that, remember, if somebody disagrees with you, furthermore, if they don't agree with you, furthermore, if they don't affirm you, furthermore, if they don't praise you, they're committing a crime against you. That's why this language is so foreign to us. What do you mean, committing a crime? What are you talking about? I told them to clean up their room because it's a mess. And they're like, oh, you people are terrible. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I can't wait to be out of here. What just happened? In their mind, you committed a crime. Why? Because expressing their innards on the outside, that is the bravest thing that anybody can do. And if somebody doesn't affirm and praise that, then you're doing the worst thing that you can do to that person. They're macro aggressions. And they feel like you're a toxic person. They need to put up boundaries and fences, and out you go. And then when they leave the home, you're just left in the dust. And this is something that is happening in the church a lot. So to the pastor, I would encourage you, preach about it. To the parent, I would say, take you off of to yourself off of the hook that God does not have you on. And if you are a young person, I'm begging you to not be what the Bible describes the child who does not treat his parents with honor, Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Your parents are sinners. They're not toxic people. They're sinners. And your parents, whether they express it well or not, they will do anything for you. That's why they don't give you a pass on some of the stuff that you want to do, because they care too much for you. You ain't got nobody like that in your corner. Nobody comes close. Your friends will abandon you in a heartbeat. When the sirens go off and the law comes chasing after you, look around. Where are your friends? They're gone. But it's your parents who will show up at the pokey to provide bail for you. Why? Because your parents love you. And if you don't honor them, you're a fool. And here's the upside. If you do honor them, you will be blessed. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Giffert, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers, because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum, hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and He is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tried but failed. Friel again? Hey, this is Wretched Radio. I tried to find something, you know, kind of unique, another way of saying, hey, did I mention I was in Florida at the Cornerstone Conference this weekend? So I went to the YouTube machine looking for some Florida music. Who is Florida music? It's Jimmy Buffett. Could I find a song that didn't have something to do with getting drunk or having sex? No, I couldn't. So instead, you get me being obnoxious. Hey, did I mention I was in Florida at the Cornerstone Conference this weekend? After the Q&A about home life, Brandon, one of the organizers of the conference, asked the panel about marriage and what the church might be able to do to help young people want to get married, because right now it ain't happening and it's not. And I'm telling you, this could easily become my thing. This could be the hobby horse that I just ride and ride. And that is the danger of the cell phone. I'm telling you, it's goofing up our kids. I've gotten to the point where it's not every kid, of course, but most kids, we're losing them, and we got to go find them, and we've got to help them to understand that life isn't what you curate on your cell phone, the messages that you receive, not to mention the subliminal message that you just have everything that is aligned perfectly with your preferences in this moment. Otherwise, you ghost them and they're toxic if they don't suit you in the moment. And I think the kids are also feeling the burden, the weight of social media. It's a gorilla on their backs. They got to make sure that they're keeping up their social media appearances. Then they got to make sure that nobody's talking about them, not to mention all of the temptations that are on them. I was, sorry for bringing this up, but I was reading an article last night. I probably have it somewhere in my pile that it's a thing Jimmy, do you know the name of the website thing or however it works? Open where you can put videos of yourself that people pay to watch you doing sinful things and inappropriate things. It's whatever that thing is called. Apparently you can make a lot of money doing, sexual things and whatever that thing is called. And I think it was a Fox News report. They said this is a massive trend because of the school debt and the expense of going off to university, which is why you should check out the Masters University. Incidentally, oodles oh scholarships. Now is the time to check out Masters U if you never have. Visit masters.edu because they will do anything they can to help you get you there or your child there. Universities, some of these kids are coming out with $500,000 in debt. So they use whatever this platform is to sell their bodies. And it's a way that they're making a living. And it, like, beyond, like, duh. What are we doing to our kids? Why aren't we stopping this? We're just trashing our children. And we're losing. We have lost virtually an entire generation. This cell phone, it just needs to be brought under control. Mom and Dad, to you, I say, I know you got yourself a battle on your hands. So in the context of the Q&A, talking about family and marriage, what we can do to make it better, a young man came up to me afterwards and he said, hey, I got some questions. And he took his cell phone where he'd written them down. And I was like, oh, dude, these are so good. These are so good. So he sent them to me. There are young men out there who want to get married and who are trying. There are young men who are godly. I know it's probably, I don't think anybody has any sort of Barna-like statistic on this, but it seems that there are more godly young women than godly young men, but that is not to say there are no godly young men. Listen to the questions this dude asked. What are some things I should look for in myself to gauge my preparedness for marriage? Dude, well played. Answer to the question? You can look a little, but I think somebody else should look a lot-le. In other words, have people who know you point out to you the good stuff, where you're excelling, and maybe where you need a little exercise. Who are those people who can do it? You perhaps think my family, that might be a little challenging. Okay, how's about your church family? How's about you ask people, hey, what do you see in me? Are there areas where you think I can grow? Are there areas that you think I've made some progress in? I think every young man should do that because it will help you to advance. Because I think one of the best things that a young man can do in preparedness for marriage is to pretend he's married. Not like, you know, some weird, I'm imagining that there's a woman in my home. Instead, that you are imagining, you are acting like a husband no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. So even as a student who is single, you can act like a married man in that you comport yourself in a way that says you're responsible. You are striving for godliness. You are wanting to put others first. Those are all of the attributes that you should be working on before you get married. Question number two. How do I prepare as a young man for fatherhood / husbandhood? Well, I would tell this young man, you've made a really great start here, and I don't imagine that this is just the beginning of your quest to be a good husband and father. Sounds like it started a while ago. And he's wise. If you happen to be younger, these questions that you're hearing, these are wisdom questions right here. These are questions of somebody who's desiring to be wise, not smart necessarily, but to be wise. And wisdom is knowledge applied. You want that. You should be asking these questions too. What can you do to prepare for fatherhood and husbandhood? Act like a father and a husband today. Grow in godliness. Spiritual stuff first, then take a look at things like, am I working hard? Am I storing up money? What is my trajectory so that I can provide well for wife and children? You can start doing that now. Question number three, how do I look for a wife in today's age? Okay, this is something no doubt every godly young man and woman has tried. And if they're still single, it has failed them. Church. Start in your church. Are you at a Christian university? Make it a goal to leave with a diploma and a spouse. I'm not kidding. Because chances are very good you'll never be in a denser context where you have so many different opportunities to meet a young man or a young woman. So use those years. Make it like every day be asking, am I comporting myself? Am I doing the things? Am I being observant? Am I looking around? And something that you might want to work on too is the fear that it seems so many young men possess these days. Don't be scared. Dude, this is knight in shining armor business. Go find that damsel. Go get her. And you might get rejected. Yep, it happens. And Jimmy, you know what? I've heard that being rejected is really awful.
You've heard that?
Yeah. just rumors that I've no experience, mind you.
Yeah.
Get her, dude. Go get her. Think of it as a quest because it is a quest. You want something manly to do? Be mindful of finding a spouse. Having said all of that, I'm afraid social media is just simply on the table these days. And it's a mess. It's just a mess. The stories that I have heard from young women about the young men who claim to be Christians and then reveal very quickly they are not. So be careful. Use it. Use it judiciously. Use it perhaps with others helping you because you might develop some patterns that don't help you to actually identify somebody that might be a good match. But you're going to have to use the social media. Just be very, very careful. And finally, what do I look for in a wife? You look for what the Bible says. Period. Check those boxes. Those are the boxes. You want godly. You want somebody who loves the Lord more than they're ever going to love you. You want somebody who wants to be with King Jesus for eternity and is looking for somebody to walk with on that journey. That's what you're... So read your Proverbs 31. Look for that woman. Now you say, well, what about personality and such? I say, the Lord doesn't say that you find somebody who checks all of the Proverbs 31 boxes, therefore you have to marry that woman. No, he doesn't do that. There are preference issues, but be careful. Be careful. If everything that you kind of prefer doesn't align perfectly with your desires, be careful how quickly you disqualify somebody. Be careful of that. Because social media has been telling you, perfect! That person needs to be perfect! You're not going to find that person. And guess what? Nobody's going to find that in you either. So make sure you're checking the Bible boxes. You can have preferences, but they should be in that order of priority. And one last thing, pray like a nobody's business. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.